Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the GSMC Baseball Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff Malinoff. With me, as always, is Mark Souza. We did it, folks. We finally made it to a signing from a major player to a team in the Major League Baseball organization. It happened. It finally happened. After all this time, it finally happened. I'm getting emotional. I'm sorry. We waited for so long. It's been excruciating. It's been difficult. I've had sleepless nights, waking up in a cold sweat over why hasn't anyone signed. And now finally, I can rest easy as there is a signing. Manny Machado has been, well, not official, but he has agreed to a 10-year, $300 million contract to the San Diego Padres with an interesting 5-year out. But again, we have a home for Manny Machado, finally. He's not homeless anymore.
Yeah, and with $300 million, you could find a very nice home, even in luxurious San Diego, California. I'll tell you what, man. There's not very many better cities out there that you'd rather spend 10 years in playing professional sports than San Diego, wouldn't you say?
What about Alaska?
Yeah.
There should be a minor league team in Alaska.
Mm.
They would get so much advantages when they have home games. Are you kidding
They'd only be able to play home games for like 2 months out of the whole year.
Touché.
Like June and July. Every other month they're on the road. You know, just yeah. They have two straight months of home games. That'd be interesting.
So like what the Chargers had this season. But I'm bumped.
Mm-hmm. So Manny Machado, man. He finally picks. You know, we heard the Padres were late in the game and in the Machado and in Bryce Harper. We knew that they had made pitches to both guys.
But they came out swinging.
I guess maybe not too many of us took them seriously as a big contender to land one of these two guys.
You know what this whole situation reminds me of? Do you remember in Anchorman when they have the fight and like all the other newscasters come in? Joining
yeah.
the fight. That's basically what happened here. And the San Diego Padres were the last news.
Did you bring
team.
Up Anchorman because of San Diego?
Honestly, didn't even think of that until just now. I was just thinking more along the lines of they are all ready to fight for Harper and Machado. Then everyone else starts to come in and go, not so fast, or hold on.
And there's
moment.
All of a sudden like five news teams fighting.
Which is an awesome. In Anchorman 2, that was probably the funniest scene to be completely
You just
honest
reminded
with
me of Will Ferrell's line about San Diego in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Which one? There's multiple. The whale one or the one on the teleprompter that we can't say on air?
That one.
Why?
Just because.
Why do you hate San Diego?
No, I said it. You just reminded me of that.
Oh. I was thinking of the whale one. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're allowed to say it on air.
Nope.
We are not. You know, if
not
you,
going there.
Honestly, that's one of my favorite movies is Anchorman.
Although I'm
so.
One foot out the door, I could probably pretty much say whatever
you
I want.
You probably
at this point.
Could. On Thursday, you can just say anything and just leave, which would leave me with all the stress to have to deal with that.
I'll just say, one last thing.
San Diego.
And I'm out. And then I just drop the headset and leave.
Anyways.
Deuces.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, like, so let's talk about the.
I want to keep talking about Anchorman. Well,
okay.
But I'm like, whatever. Did you like Anchorman 2?
Anchorman 2.
It was okay.
See Anchorman 2.
It wasn't as good as the first one, obviously, but there were some enjoyable parts.
The first one's
parts.
Way too good.
The first one's amazing, no question. It's one of my favorite movies.
I saw Anchorman 2. That came out a few years ago, right?
Yes, it did.
I
it was
did
okay.
See that.
It wasn't great. It wasn't like.
They have that scene when they're in the motorhome, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So I did see it. Okay.
Where they go into the car wreck and they're all like, I forget. I think Hot Oil was on the news guy's face. What was his name? I know his actor.
Brick?
Brick is the weatherman.
Oh.
Jim. Jim?
Are you talking? Oh, you mean Paul Rudd?
No. The
sports guy.
Yeah. His name's Jim.
Champ.
I think.
Champ Kind.
Champ. That's right.
Right. Champ Kind. Is that his name?
Yeah.
He says, whammy.
Yeah, and then, Ron, where are my legs? I don't have any legs, Ron. I don't know how I'm standing. Okay, now, okay.
All right.
That's my favorite part of the whole movie, to be honest with you. But, anyways, we're going right into this. San Diego, you have got yourself a franchise player.
Can we see Will Ferrell in full character interview Manny Machado this year? Can we get that?
Oh, my God, please.
And Champ Kind, like both of them out there, like on the field.
Do you remember him doing the curling matches?
I don't.
As Ron Burgundy? Oh, my God. You got to look that up. It's good stuff.
Sounds great.
It makes curling exciting. But regardless.
Speaking of Will Ferrell, mm-hmm. I really like his George W. Bush when he was on Saturday Night Live.
It's scary accurate. It's absolutely terrifying.
That was fun, that man.
Yeah, he's a, Will Ferrell is one of the
funniest guys. That was before you could like do SNL political stuff and everybody like had a
problem
crap fest about it. Like,
well, I mean, look at Alec Baldwin. He's probably his career kind of got revitalized thanks to Trump.
You know what? He's really funny as him though. You know,
oh, he's
like, but people get pissed off about that.
Why?
Stuff.
It's a joke. Take a joke
because it's a. It's a jab to some, right? Like, it's a...
Whatever.
Can take a joke
Do you remember
anymore,
the Sean Spicer ones? Those were classics.
Yeah, they were.
Anyways.
Nobody can take a joke anymore, man. It's an all of comedy.
Think,
I know we're getting off the rails a little bit.
If Ron Burgundy interviewed Manny Machado, would he get offended? Because he is...
I think Manny Machado would love it.
You think he's not...
He's a good personality. I mean, he could be a little bit like...
A diva.
He could be immature, but I think he's fun. Like I think he's I think he's like a chill dude, you know.
Kevin Durant wouldn't be able to take it.
Yeah, maybe. Curry would be good though, you know.
Curry would be like I'm hoping Machado or Harper are one of those guys that could just take a joke. But that's my one issue with Manny Machado is like on the field he kinda stirs a lot of things up that unnecessarily need stirring up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, no, that's a big deal because now he is no matter what, it doesn't matter who is the quote-unquote captain of your team. Manny Machado is the captain of your team.
He's
like,
the guy.
He's the leader of your team.
He's the guy.
You gave him $300 million, you know? So, like, look, Manny Machado is going to be the face of your franchise for the next 5 at least, probably 10 years.
Yeah.
So, hey, you got to live with the good with Manny Machado. We're talking about a 4-time All-Star, a 2-time Gold Glove winner.
And
you
got to
live with
huge,
the bad.
And he brings help to a defense that's already stellar.
And you got to go. You got to hang with the bad too, right? Like you got to go with the good with him and with the bad. He can be emotional. He could get in the scuffles. He can get suspended from baseball. I mean, he's a loose cannon, right? So you got to be able to. If you're a Padres fan, there will be some games, some days, where maybe it's not going so well, and maybe he acts out. And there will be a lot of games where he helps your team win, and you're like, man, this guy is worth every penny. So,
yeah,
I guess it'll be seen.
Well,
now,
yeah, we don't know if he's exactly worth every penny yet, but on paper, he looks to be a great fit.
Let's talk about the Padres, though, speaking of on paper. They have not made the playoffs in 12 straight Major League Baseball seasons. That is one of, if not the longest active streak. Is there a longer active streak in baseball?
I'm trying to think. I don't think so.
I will look that up. But regardless, we both understand that's an incredibly long time. 12 years and not make the playoffs in one particular sport is a long time.
Miami?
When was last? Yeah, they haven't been in a long time.
Well, 2003?
Yeah, probably.
Was the World Series the last time?
I think Miami is right. Oh wait, no. The Seattle Mariners have the longest postseason.
Really?
Drought.
How long?
In pro American sports.
In pro American sports.
Mm-hmm.
That's saying an incredible lot.
They haven't qualified since 2001, Ichiro's rookie season.
That was their 119 wins.
The Marlins are third. They have the third longest streak. It goes Mariners, Cleveland Browns, Miami Marlins, Minnesota Timberwolves, and then your Sacramento Kings. Not did
my
you,
Sacramento Kings?
Yeah, yours.
Why
did you
mine?
See? Did you hear that? The Kings do not own the longest playoff drought in the NBA.
Why you keep
we
saying
we have been
mine?
Wrong this entire time. Minnesota has 13 straight seasons of none. Sacramento has 11. The Padres have the last time the Padres made the playoffs was the last time the Sacramento Kings made the playoffs in basketball.
That's saying a lot, actually. By the way, that 2001 season the Mariners had, that was their 116 win season. That was the most mm-hmm. wins, tied for the most wins ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
I also wanted to mention something here. The Padres on FanGraphs. Are you familiar with FanGraphs?
Kinda, yeah.
Popular baseball website statistics. They had the Padres winning 81 games last year. They ended up winning 66. Quite a bit off.
So they were a little inaccurate. It's fine. We all make mistakes, right?
Absolutely. They won 66 games last year, and that's where we got to start, man. Look, Manny Machado, I really like him as a player.
He's
one
macho.
Of the best. He's one of the best. What, four or five positional players in baseball? If you had to guess,
if you had to pick a best shortstop, that because that's his primary position, he's probably number one.
I feel like he's a better third baseman though.
But he's mainly known as a shortstop though. That's the thing.
Is he though? With Baltimore, he's a third baseman for sure.
He moved back and forth from third to second or third to.
He was a shortstop for the Dodgers for sure because they had Justin Turner there, and then mm-hmm. Seager got hurt. But he's going to be a third baseman with the Padres, right? I mean, I would be shocked if he's a shortstop. You don't want your best hitter to be covering that much range. You want him to be playing
well,
the
if
corner.
He can play it, then why not kind of think.
Well, because you probably have some. He's a good defensive player, and he's a Gold Glove winner. Don't get me wrong. But, like, I don't think he's a Gold Glove shortstop. He's a Gold Glove third baseman. You know what I mean? So I would rather have maybe a little bit a rangier player play shortstop, somebody
but
who has
I hate
defensive prowess.
I hate to be, like, negative when it comes to this, but isn't third base an easier place to defend than shortstop?
It is, and that's why I think you put Machado there. If you have him on a 10-year, $300 million deal, you don't want him getting hurt.
Why not just put him like...
You don't want him getting hurt playing shortstop.
See, if this was
the
American League, I would just say, just put him at DH. Don't have him out there.
Yeah, exactly.
But unfortunately, well, there might be...
Well, Will Myers would probably be their DH if they had one.
Yeah.
Because he was a DH in the American League.
True, but the thing is with the new baseball rules that might be happening, universal DH might actually happen.
Yeah, that's true. That is something that may end up being a rule change.
Okay, so would you rather have Machado out on the field most of the time if you have your team?
Yeah, I would, because he is a really good defender. Let's be honest. We're arguing if he should play short or third, but regardless, he's one of their best defensive players.
But I just say that more along the lines of, do you want to risk any serious injuries?
I mean, I'm sure there will be days where you DH him, you know, but I think mm-hmm. he's your regular third baseman, and like, then mm-hmm. like you DH him once or twice a week maybe.
Okay, that sounds like a fair assumption.
DH is a nice little tool to keep some of your players fresh, especially some of your big bats, right? So
yeah.
If you can kind of rotate people out, that might be best.
And as of right now, that's their biggest bat.
So we got to talk about it. I mean, he's a really good player. The Padres have a very good young talent pool. They have Lucchesi. They have Lauer. One of them could be the opening day starters. Very young pitching prospects. They have other young prospects, not just pitchers. They, according to pretty much every, I guess, scouting website, the consensus is the Padres have the number one farm system in baseball. They have 10 players in the top 100. That's a lot. Usually teams maybe have one or two. They have 10. That is a boatload. So this team is loaded with young potential talent. They also have some young ready talent on their roster right now. I mean, guys like Margot, guys like Fernando Tatis Jr., these guys are young and they're ready to perform now. The question with the Padres is, are they ready to win now? Are they ready to win now, or are they ready to win next year, 2 years from now, 3 years from now?
Well, signing Machado now and with the 5-year out on the contract, it feels like they're wanting to win sooner rather than later. So I think they're going to push hard for a winning season. And maybe not the division, because the division's still the Dodgers on top. But they're definitely in a wild card situation, if you ask me, with the addition of a major player.
Yeah, I think they need a little bit of pitching. I think Clayton Richard is their only like pitching.
The only reason he's good is because he's close to Clayton Kershaw in his name.
Is he?
I mean, Clayton.
Is it like the before and after category on Wheel of Fortune?
Oh, that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, buddy. Sorry, Clayton. Well, it's like thing one and two. Clayton one is Kershaw, and he's Clayton two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so who will be? Who's? I don't even know if they have a lock to be on the opening day start, like the opening day start, or even in the rotation. I mean, it's going to be a point of emphasis. I think that's going to be what holds them back. But again, they have pitching prospects. We just don't know if that talent is ready. A lot of times it takes a couple of years to, I guess, marinate, right?
You know, there were talks about Madison Bumgarner possibly being traded from the Giants. Maybe the Dodgers should look in on that.
You mean the Padres?
What'd I say?
Dodgers.
Yes.
Yes. That makes sense. Yeah, no, absolutely. The Padres.
That would be the
big. The only problem is that they're in the same division, right? Like.
Yeah, but is it? I've seen a lot more in division trades in baseball than anywhere else.
Oh yeah, and I think the Giants would consider it if it brought them quite a bit back in return.
Because it's compared to like the NBA and MLB, it's like it's 162 games rather than like 16 or 82. Like there's a lot. It's a lot more. So
Fernando Tatis Jr. plays shortstop. He can play third. Left-handed pitcher Mackenzie Gore, right-handed pitchers Chris Paddock and Luis Patino are also guys who could make the opening day roster. Padres have a young team. This team could be dangerous a couple years. I just don't think they'll be good this year. I think they'll be a close to 500 baseball team, but they had 66 wins last year. For them to win like 25 more games, I think is quite a stretch. Maybe they can contend in the NL West against the Rockies.
You know how many times we jinxed a team this year, like just based off like saying how good or how bad they are, and they surprise us.
Oh yeah, I mean the A's were a very surprising team, the Oakland A's, as they normally do every 4 or 5 years, they surprise everybody. But no, you're right. I mean, it's not impossible.
It's Kim possible.
But the thing that we could bank on with the Oakland A's is that they always seem to have a good pitching rotation every few years because they develop.
Except in the playoffs.
Well, look, man, like it's always.
I'm not forgetting the 2014. But when they make the like 8-2,
they had a really good team in that year. By the way, I thought that they were better than the Royals that year, even though they lost.
We're only up like 8-1.
They lost in that crucial game. But regardless. It's just hard to see a team without any pitching be a surprise team. Usually it's a team that can pitch well. And then, you know, like a team will pitch well and then they get surprising results from some of their lineup, like some of their hitters or timely hitting. Padres were 28th in runs scored last year, so their offense will big time boost with putting Manny Machado in the middle of that lineup. Batting third or fourth, you know, that's going to be good. Hosmer wasn't that great last year, though.
Big contract. He can still bounce back.
Oh, yeah, he could.
He's still a very talented player. I liked the signing when it first happened. He was a huge part of the World Series for the Royals, ironically, as we were talking about them. So I still think he can make a massive contribute to this
team. Last year he batted .253, far cry from the .318 he batted in.
Well, he also went from a National League to a division that's very competitive from a division that wasn't that competitive.
He also is playing in a pitcher's park, too. Most of his games now with the Padres, right?
Mm-hmm,
that has to make, you know, a difference there in some regard.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Yeah, he's got to bounce back. Will Myers is a good power hitter if he can stay healthy. That's his only thing. See, so that guy just can't stay healthy for long periods of time.
He needs some.
Yeah. Last year, Hosmer had 18 homers, which was 7 less. He had 25 and 16 and 25 and 17. He also only had 69 RBIs, which is a far cry from what he's accustomed to. He's had a 100 RBI season 2 years ago. He had a 94 RBI season in 2017, 69 RBIs last year. His doubles were the same. His triples were the same. Everything else seemed to be the same, but his total hits was definitely down as his average went far down, 253. So that was the second lowest in his career. He is certainly capable of a bounce back season. He's still a young player. Maybe next year he will get back to his previous form.
Absolutely. There's always a possibility for that. But overall, let me ask you straight up. Is it too much money for him? Did they overpay?
Possibly, but they, I mean, you know, like it's hard, like they overpaid Manny Machado too, you know, but I mean, at the end of the day, you bring in a good player, you have a young baseball team. I think it makes sense to overpay for players like this if you're the Padres, because you have so many young players that are on rookie contracts, on minor league deals.
You can take advantage of that situation.
Yeah, you take advantage of it right now, especially a guy like Hosmer. I mean, yes, what is Hosmer's contract?
I think it's in the $100 million.
Well, it's $144 million, but how many years was it
for? I think it was four.
That, see, if that's the case, that's pretty good, because but I feel like that's too much. Like, too much per year.
I don't think it was seven years. Oh, it's 7 years? Okay, I was wrong. I thought it was less, years-wise.
Hold on. No. It's an eight-year deal, but there is an opt-out clause after the fifth year, just like Manny Machado, it sounds like.
So I guess they've thought these through before. Like, it's not just against Machado.
However, it is a front-loaded deal. $20 million in the first 5 years, so $13 million each the last 3 years.
So there's really no point in releasing him at that end of the deal if they're just trying to save money because they already lost him.
Unless he's, like, crap at that point,
unless,
right?
Unless he's, like, what was it, Chris Davis?
Mm-hmm. And Hosmer's also a four-time Gold Glove winner. So, you know, him and Machado can play defense. They can play both sides of the ball.
They've both been in the World Series. Mm-hmm. One, obviously. But they both lost one as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, overall, I mean, I like the signing for the Padres. I will just say we might need to temper the expectations in year one. I think this year, if they get to 500, I think, yeah, maybe some fans will be disappointed because they haven't had winning baseball there in so long, right? Like, it is frustrating when you're a fan of a team and you guys haven't won in a decade. You know, like, that's frustrating. But I think this year is kind of a wash. And then in 2020 is when the Padres will have, because some of that pitching talent will be realized by them. Some of those young pitchers will have experience, and they'll be ready to make their mark on the game. So
yeah, well, they might need to sooner rather than later. That's maybe the only problem. But regardless, like you said, their prospects are some of the best, if not the best, in baseball. So
maybe they turn two or three of those top prospects into Madison Bumgarner or a different pitcher. You know,
three of them.
Well, two or three of those. It's going to take.
You know
how much it is to get get players like that.
Oh, absolutely. And
I mean, usually when you trade a star, like, you're going to get four or five big names in return.
Especially in the playoffs, you need pitching to win. So
yeah, maybe they do it.
Maybe they do pull it off.
Yeah. All right, let's go to a break. When we come back, we have to talk about a World Series winning manager who will be retiring at the end of this upcoming season. There's also new rules in Major League Baseball in regards to sign stealing. Some injury news on Carlos Martinez and a player who was injured celebrating a win.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. Finishing up what we just finished talking about, Manny Machado and his deal with the San Diego Padres. Now we have a retirement to talk about, as the manager of the San Francisco Giants, Bruce Bochy, three-time World Series champion with the team, is going to be retiring by the end of this
and
next
former
season.
Former manager of the Padres, too.
He also took them to their one and only World
Series.
Was
he their last manager to take them to the playoffs?
Maybe.
I'm serious.
Wait, how many times did they make it to the World
Hold
Series?
Hold on, I'm serious.
No, I don't think so.
Who did he manage between the Padres and the Giants?
No one. I think he went from one to the other. I'll look this up.
But anyways, Bruce Bochy will retire at the end of the season for the Giants. He is a guy who has won three World Series titles. He also has been dealing with some health problems.
Oh, wow. Wait, when was the last time the Padres made the playoffs?
2006, I believe.
That was his last year.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize that. That's amazing.
We just figured this out.
And the Padres have made it. The last World Series appearance was managed by Bruce Bochy.
Mm-hmm.
They've won two pennants, one in 1984 and one in 1998.
So Bruce Bochy is retiring. Obviously, Giants players had great things to say. Jeff Samardzija, Giants pitcher, he had some interesting comments. He was saying that.
Bad or good?
He said, quote, "He lets the players run the team. He's just a dying breed, you know. Unfortunately, after this, you're going to have 30 puppets out there giving you cliche answers, and it's a shame because Bochy isn't that. He's a person. He's got great stories. He's a motivator, and on top of all of that, he loves his young players. He doesn't just look at them as pieces. He looks at them as people, and he really appreciates the work you do," end quote.
So was that a compliment?
Yeah, absolutely. That was a over-the-top compliment, it sounds like. Also, Buster Posey said he's like the old school John Wayne tough guy. I think that's a positive. I think
he does look like a guy from that era, too, so it makes sense.
He said, "I think sometimes it's good to have that personality," end quote. So, yeah, Bochy, 63 years old. He has managed the Giants since 2007 after 12 years with the Padres. You know, he's actually just about a 500 manager with the Giants, but three World Series titles in five seasons. He needs 74 wins to become the 10th manager to reach 2,000 career.
He's 11th all-time.
Victories. His next stop, folks, will be the Hall of Fame.
If he doesn't get in there, that's a travesty.
Oh, he will be. He will be one of 10 managers with 2,000 career wins. The Giants better win 74 games. They got to get it. If they win 73... then he doesn't get to 2,000. That would be sad. They got to win 74.
He coaches one more game until he goes to like 2,000. Just is that bitter.
Yeah. So, look, I do think it's funny that we just talked about the Padres and we didn't realize that Bochy's.
I did not realize. I forgot. I think a lot of people forgot, except for Padre fans, of course. But he's going to be forever known as a Giants coach. That's just what the case is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, three World Series. People have been debating if the Giants were a dynasty or not.
You know, I understand both sides of it. One side, they won 3 out of 5. That's it. Like, if you win every other year, that's the definition of a dynasty.
Uh-huh.
Of winning that, of being that successful. But they didn't make the playoffs in those other years, which also, like, disregards those other ones. But I think it's based off success alone. And history shows they've won three World Series in 5 years, and that's what makes them a dynasty.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think three titles in 5 years, regardless of what you do in the other two. But there is two sides of that coin. I can see the argument how not being a contender whatsoever in those other 2 years, it's like, really? But, I'd say 3 and 5 makes you at least a mini dynasty in my book. Yeah, Bochy, I think, is a surefire Hall of Famer. I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer because nobody really is, right? I mean, except for Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, he'll get in.
I say he gets in. Like, it's hard to say if he will get in the first time or not, though, because it's just a interesting concept. Because there's so many guys that don't get it that deserve it. But if he does get a first ballot Hall of Fame, not unanimous or anything, I think that's well-deserved.
Mm-hmm. I think it's tough for the Giants. So I don't think they're looking at a strong season this year, even if they do sign a guy like Harper. That team just doesn't seem like they're going to have enough to compete in the NL West.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At least pitching-wise.
Yeah.
Obviously, hitting is always a struggle for the Giants, even when they're good.
But they always manage to win.
Well, they have managed to win. They haven't won in a while, though. It's hard to think about that, right? It's been 5 years since the Giants last won a World Series.
Yeah.
Anyways, Major League Baseball has new rules in place to stop sign stealing. You hear about that?
Yeah, I did hear about this. Continue.
Yeah, so MLB already had a rule in place that prohibited sign stealing from any place other than the runner on second. Well, that rule will now be updated to include the measures that will address the use of new technology. So a ban on in-house outfield cameras from foul pole to foul pole. Live broadcast limited to each team's designated replay official, who in turn will be monitored by a security expert. Having all other TV monitors, such as those in the clubhouse and bullpens, on an 8-second delay.
Okay, that's...
So those three things. A ban on in-house outfield cameras from foul pole to foul pole.
Okay.
And live broadcast limited to each team's designated replay official, who in turn will be monitored by a security expert. And then the last one, having all other TV monitors, such as those in the clubhouse and bullpens, on an 8-second delay. Penalties for violation will include forfeiting draft picks and international spending money.
Okay.
Your thoughts?
That's kind of a lot just to not have people steal signs, isn't it? That seems a bit much. I understand why, though. Don't get me wrong. It makes sense like that. But that seems more like a hassle.
Mm-hmm. I think it's funny that they're going to have a security person watching the replay officials.
Yeah. Like, seriously, like, what is it? Is someone going to watch? Is a security? put the replay down now. Like, put the camera down now. He holds a gun to his head.
That sounds monitored by a security expert. That's all it says.
Boom! Self defense. He was looking at the replay. He was looking at the screening. It's illegal. Yeah. Rightful homicide.
That is an interesting concept, I would
say. My God, man.
So I want to talk about something interesting.
God, I hope he's armed. I really hope he's armed and, like, has to make the guy get arrested and make a whole big blow out of it.
Here's a funny story. Well, I guess funny depending on who you are. That's the next story. Miguel Sano will miss at least the first week of full squad workouts after he cut his foot celebrating his team winning the Dominican Winter League Championship. What are your thoughts?
How did he cut his foot?
I have no idea.
The bottom of his foot or the top
of his foot? I have no clue. He's been wearing a walking boot to protect the wound, which is above the heel on his right foot. Okay, there we go. So it's above the heel on the right foot. Ouch.
That
almost makes me think he slices his Achilles.
Yeah, that's where you get cut to, like, immobilize somebody.
So manager Rocco Baldelli said Tuesday that Sano will wear the boot for 7 to 10 days before being reevaluated.
It's just like, how deep is this cut?
Don't know, but
it must be a really deep cut.
That would freak me out. I'm not good with stuff like that. And like that, I think that's such a weird area.
And cutting in the Achilles, like, that's how you stand up. That's how your body is. Like, that's where, like, your balance comes from. So if that's cut in a certain deep way, you can't stand up.
There's always some interesting things that happen in these winter leagues, though.
But that's also, like, how you immobilize someone. If you want to try to, like, get them to, like, stop moving or in that situation, you cut, like,
that. Do you remember when we watched that winter league fight? Like, a couple months ago when we watched that fight?
That absurd, that unnecessary fight that took place.
Ugh.
Talk about absurd. Yeah, seriously. I mean, come on.
The winter league. I wonder if teams put in some players' contracts so they're not allowed to play in that.
I'm sure. Or they can decline it in right out.
A lot of those guys go back there because they're from there and they get to play for, like, their team, like their local team. So they like do it for free. You know what I mean? Like, it's like something that's like a pride thing for them, which is cool. I mean, it's cool. Okay, so let's go to another pitcher or another baseball player who is injured. Carlos Martinez, St. Louis Cardinals starting pitcher, has been shut down to build up shoulder strength after an injury-plagued season last year. So Martinez, who's 27 years old, will not throw before being reevaluated on March 5th. He said, Cardinals manager Mike Schilt said that an MRI this week showed Martinez's right shoulder was structurally sound, but they just want to take precautions and they want him healthy for a full season. So, a two-time All-Star, Carlos Martinez, was 8-6 last year. He also had 5 saves and a 3.11 ERA. 18 starts. 18 starts and 5 saves. Kind of an interesting stat line.
Wait.
Cardinals have not said how they'll use him this season.
18 starts in 5
saves. And 5 saves, yes.
How does that work? I mean, I know how it
well,
works.
Well, he was on the DL 3 times last year, so I think that he was going between...
Bullpen and
yeah,
starting.
Yeah, because he had shoulder, lat, and oblique strains throughout the season. So shoulder strain, lat, and oblique.
Very surprising. I've never seen that stat line before.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? He said that his shoulder's been bothering him a little bit, and there's been some inflammation. So they're going to be super careful with him, it sounds like, as they try to navigate the NL Central this year. Obviously, a tougher division than it has been in the past, with teams like the Cubs and Milwaukee in their way. Anyways, I think we should go to break.
Sure, we can go to break when we come back.
We'll talk about Harper Watch 2019.
2018-19, because it's been in 2 different years.
It might be 2019-2020.
It's 2021. Forever. We'll be right back right after this.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back, everyone, to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. Finished up talking about some new rule changes in the Major League Baseball Association of America.
I want to ask you a question.
Go for it.
Do you remember, this is really old, so I think this video game came out probably before your time, but
tell me
about the time that you were born. Do you remember Primetime, the Deion Sanders football game on Sega Genesis? I mean, I know you probably didn't play it, but like it's
I
kind of a thing.
I did not have a Sega Genesis. I had a Super Nintendo and an N64.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you had a Super Nintendo and N64, so you kind of went past one.
Yeah.
Like, that was, Sega
well,
was like
one of my close friends that would live next door had a Super Nintendo. I was basically there all the time playing that, and yeah. I had an N64 myself. My first like real like sports game I played was like NFL Blitz, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That video game, so what was interesting...
What's about this video game? Yeah,
it's a Deion Sanders. It's called Primetime, okay?
Right, makes sense.
And the whole point of the game was that he was a free agent in the NFL, okay? So when you start the game, you pick like which team he plays on. So it could be the Cowboys, it could be the Lions, the 49ers, whatever, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the premise of the game. Like, it was a full-on football game, like Madden or any other game, right?
Yeah.
But it was called Primetime. It was Deion's game. In fact, this was the cover right here. I had this game. Okay.
Okay.
So it was a fun game. It was.
I'm looking at this right now, to be honest with you.
You can buy it for $4 on eBay.
Wow. Well, it's Genesis. That makes sense. If the opening thing, like when you press start, has Deion Sanders in a Niners jersey.
Yes, because I think it came out
afterwards.
The year that. Yeah, I think it came out the year after he won with the Niners, or maybe before. But Yeah, also, but on the cover, it's him on a Cowboys jersey. I know this. That's, cover is him in a Cowboys
jersey.
Wait,
that was after the Niners, though.
Right. So it came out in 95.
That
came
makes
out
sense.
Right. I think it came out when he signed. Well, the point is where I'm going with all of this, because, you know, I'm kind of going off topic here, is maybe Bryce Harper should have a game like that where it's, you know,
oh
Bryce
my
Harper,
God,
you pick the team.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, it's
if
like the show. It will be the show, but like Harper, you pick the team.
It would. Yeah, if they weren't so strict about the MLB licensing, he could probably do it for the all systems, but it would probably be a PlayStation, like MLB exclusive type game, a PS4 exclusive type game. But I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome for the idea, Sony. We'll be waiting for our royalties in the next coming days.
Maybe I'll go home and download this game.
Download?
Put it on the computer, you know?
Emulator?
Mm-hmm.
You have an emulator?
No.
Oh.
I can figure it out.
Good luck with that. It looks like crap, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, it's an old game. Right?
I know, but
it came out like 30 years ago almost.
Granted. I've seen like Tecmo Bowl look better than this.
Mm-hmm.
And I played Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah. So, let's see. So, Bryce Harper. We now hear that the San Francisco Giants are still in the running, even though it sounds like he's going to be a Philly. I just think he's going to be a Philly.
He's not
Phillies.
Sure about it, quote unquote, is what they said.
I don't think he wants to be a Phillies player. Doesn't it sound like that? Like,
he would have signed to them by now.
I think he's waiting for another team.
Honestly, I think they're kind of overrated. I understand that they are a good team still, but it just seems to me that like if he wanted to play, if it was a done deal with them, he would have signed with them by now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's waiting for a team that he likes to give him an offer he wants.
Yeah.
But he's got to tell the team he wants to play for, like, I want to play for you. Please give me this amount of money and I will gladly come play for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll even set it for this, you know? Just give me my $500 million.
Yeah, so we will see where he, I guess, ends up. I truly think he's going to be a Philadelphia Phillies player. But you were talking about a story earlier about free agent crisis, how there's no crisis.
Well, the commissioner of baseball is tired of everyone saying that there's a problem with free agency.
Mm-hmm.
And he says there is no crisis. And it's based off the players are looked at differently now. And just it's changed. Well, if that is the case, wouldn't you change it to fix because everything else is changing? Wouldn't you want to change as well how the free agency works?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, baseball has kind of fallen behind.
I have a gut feeling the commissioner of baseball is in denial.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody is going to say that baseball's free agency is exciting. It's not been exciting. You could be the biggest baseball fan. And I think we could all agree on that. Like, it's just the fact that these players have been going unsigned and unsigned. We're in, you know, spring training, and we still don't have any. Well, Machado just signed. Like, he just signed this week.
Well, technically, he hasn't even signed on the dotted line yet.
Right. Will Harper even sign by this weekend? Who knows? But we are approaching March. We are approaching March, and arguably baseball's biggest star is not on the baseball team.
Who knows if he wants to play baseball anymore? Maybe this is all a ruse.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see where he lands. But, you know, of course, if you're the commissioner, I think you say stuff
honestly,
like that.
Honestly, I would not be surprised if there was the decision with Bryce Harper by the end of this. Like, people are just so PO'd about it. They're like, just do a decision, put it on ESPN, and just say what you want to go for. Just say it.
Mm-hmm.
They go to his house with pitchforks and, like, a torch and all that, what's the word? Angry mob mentality. Like, pick a team.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, I didn't realize some people were this frustrated.
Yeah, so I guess we'll see what happens. I still have my money on the Phillies. I don't know what. I still don't understand what the Giants have been particularly frugal in the free agent market so far, and it's like, oh, they're just gonna drop $300 million. Like, all of a sudden, it would seem kind of odd, but hey, I don't know.
It's for a generational talent.
True. Other than that, that's all I got, man. That's our show.
Yeah, it's a pretty slow baseball day, like it's been for the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks,
mm-hmm.
8 weeks, 9 weeks, 10 weeks, 11 weeks. Okay, that was a. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Please tune us in next Wednesday. I will be here, but unfortunately, Mark will not. But as always, I'm Jeff Malinoff. This is the last I will see Mark, who's on the Baseball Podcast. But
peace.
I will see you. But I will see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.